Mark. Well, good morning. It's quite an intro, Mark. Thank you. I tell you, I got involved as a leader, I think it was in 1991, 92, and Mark and Kathy were leading here in Greencastle, and they've played a huge role in their life, much more than they will ever know. And I don't know if I'd be here today if it wasn't for the Herman's influence on my life. So I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit more about Young Life in the second hour, and encourage you to stay around if you're able to do that. When Jeff asked me to share, I said I would be glad to. Some people in this church have been very instrumental in my life, and it's still a big part of Young Life, as you can see. But today, this part, I'm excited that I get to talk about Jesus, the one we talk about in Young Life every time we have kids in front of us. And in particular, today I want to talk about something I think we all love about Jesus, and that is that he came bringing us good news. Now we'll see if we can get this thing. There we go. You'll have to forgive me. When I work with high school kids, we don't use a lot of PowerPoints, but I know for us it helps a little bit to kind of follow along a little bit. But right off the bat, in Luke 4:18, Jesus' first sermon, so to speak, he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And then he says in Mark 1:14, you don't have to turn to these, but Mark 1:14, again, he says, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Right off the bat, Jesus said, this is what I'm about, bringing good news, not just good advice. A lot of religions just bring good advice, right? I came bringing good news. The gospel is good news. And we love that because most of the news we get is not good news, right? Most of the news we see on TV or read on the internet is not good news. We're not usually called down to the principal's office at the middle school for good news, right? It's usually bad news. We don't interrupt this program for good news. It's usually bad news. So we could really use some good news in our world, amen? And we love that Jesus came bringing it. And I happen to believe that the good news that Jesus brings is not just good news for some of us, it's good news for all of us. No matter who we are, no matter where we rank on the social ladder of our day. Now this ladder, that's what this is going to represent today. Some of you walked in the room and you thought, geez, Jeff goes away and you know the custodians forget to take the ladder down and just leave it in random places. But no, this is my fault. Work with teenagers, I like visuals. And I like things to point at, I like to use my hands. So this is going to illustrate the social ladder as we talk through this story that we're going to look at today. Now as adults, the social ladder doesn't affect us as much anymore because we kind of reach a point where we just don't care anymore, right? But for teenagers, it affects them. They feel it, especially those on the lower half. They feel it. You know how I know? Because that's where I spent most of my days in school. And if you don't believe me, I brought pictures to prove it. All right, this is going to be fun. This is called Eric Burt, the awkward years, okay? This is a little fun time. It's okay to laugh at this. Most people, their awkward stage was like a couple years, like 11 to 13, right? Right, most of all of you, right? For me, the awkward stage was more like age 7 or 8 to like 44. Other than that, it's been good, right? But those 30 some odd years. So just to prove it to you, I got some pictures from kindergarten up to 10th grade, just some school pics, all right? So here's kindergarten. Good start, right? Pretty good start. Cute kid. Here's the problem. That's the peak. I took the phrase peaking too soon to a ridiculous level. Kindergarten was my best year of my life right there. All right, so here we go. All right, third grade. Needed glasses, and I used to think it was cool to tuck my hair inside my glasses, and unfortunately, no one took it upon themselves to tell me that it wasn't, as you'll see in all of these pictures, all right? So third grade, still not bad, okay, then we're going to go to fifth grade. Now, you kind of get a sense of the direction we're headed, and it's not the right one, right? Probably should have kept my old glasses and probably should have kept my mouth closed. All right, so here we go. Seventh grade, here we go. 1982 called. They want their outfit back. And in case you're wondering, yes, let's see if this thing works. Yes, that collar does go past the shoulder, which is impressive. I'm proud of that, right? And this is a little low in here. I'm not proud of that. But and in case you're wondering, no, apparently my mom did not believe in haircuts before picture day. Apparently, all my haircuts throughout my school career were scheduled the day after. So, all right? So, and it keeps getting worse. All right, this is eighth grade, middle school. This is when most people are having the awkward stage, right? So I fit right in then. But I've studied this picture because it's therapeutic for me. And I found only one good thing about this picture. It's not the hair, it's not the glasses, it's not the teeth, and it's not the shirt. I must have not known it was picture day that day. The only good thing, I was happy. Perhaps a little too happy, right? But I was happy, all right? Ignorance is bliss is what I've called this picture. Now, there's only one more. I got one more picture, and most of you are saying, thank the Lord. Can we just get to the scripture? But some of you are thinking, no, keep going. This is the most fun I've had in church in a long time, right? Right? In fact, I feel better about myself with every picture you show. How many of you would love if Pastor Jeff would do this in his life, just go through? That would be great. All right. All right. So the good news was after this, I got contacts, didn't have to wear glasses. The bad news is I got braces, and, well, here's the bad news. The end. Whoa, hey, come on. There we go, the end. Not the end of my awkward stage. It was just the beginning, sadly enough. But the end of this slideshow, because a man can only take so much, right? But I think you get a sense of where I spent most of my days in Shippensburg High School, and it wasn't in this realm of the social ladder. So when I found that Jesus came bringing good news for all of us, no matter who we were, it meant something to me. And I think it means something to a lot of kids, and I think it means something to all of us. I will say, it turned out okay for me, though. I'll just share a picture of my family. Couldn't be here today, but this is my wife, Chrissy, of 16 years, and my son, Logan, who's 8, and my daughter, Allison, who is 11. And they send their greetings. So, the end for reals that time. There we go. All right. So, we're going to look at a story today in Luke 18. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke 18, verse 35. I'm also going to have the scripture on the screen, which will be the NIV. But we're going to look at a story where Jesus brings good news, I believe, to a blind beggar, and I believe to all of us, no matter who we are, no matter where we rank. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him, and they told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So let's set the stage here. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover. As usual, there's a large crowd with him. Every rung on the social ladder was there that day. And here was the social ladder in those days. It was the religious leaders and the wealthy men near the top. Then it was more common men like carpenters and fishermen. And then it was women, children, and then outcasts and sinners, outcasts like this blind beggar. This man was told that he was blind because he was cursed by God. And because God didn't like him, people decided they didn't like him either. So this was probably a man with no friends, no hope, no job. He was on the lowest rung and he knew it. He felt it. Probably wasn't a day that went by that he didn't feel the effects of the social ladder on his life. So he hears the crowd going by and he says, what's happening? And he finds out that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. See, he must have heard that Jesus was willing and able to help people like him because the news was spreading about this Jesus who was healing the sick, he was raising the dead, he was bringing hope to people like him. And he cries out, have mercy on me, which is kind of like saying, don't give me what I deserve. Don't give me what I deserve. He's heard for so long that he deserved to be at the bottom rung of the social ladder that perhaps he was starting to believe it. Have mercy on me. It says, those who led the way, that's probably these guys, the religious leaders, they rebuked him. in a sense, said, be quiet. Jesus doesn't care about you. Nobody cares about you. You're just a blind beggar. But don't you love his persistence in this story? You love that. He's so convinced that Jesus can help him that he ignores the crowd and he shouts out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. We love that. You know, when I share this story with teenagers, I say this, don't let the crowd determine your response to Jesus. It's okay to let the crowd determine you, maybe what clothes you wear, what music you listen to, or what team you cheer for. Don't let the crowd determine your response to Jesus. Too much at stake. We love that this man didn't do that. Before we read the rest of the story, I want you to notice this, that Jesus does four things for this man that bring good news to him, and I believe to all of us. And I believe as followers of Jesus, this is also a great example for how we should treat people, especially those near the bottom of the social ladder in our day. Next one. All right. Verse 40, after the second time he calls out, Son of David, have mercy on me, says he stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. First thing he does for him is he hears him. Jesus hears him. Crowd full of people. Lots of noise. Everybody clamoring for his attention. And he hears a blind beggar on the bottom rung on the side of the road. I love it. When people heard him, nobody heard him. And when they did, they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Jesus not only hears him, he listens to him and he pays attention to him. I love that. Don't ever think you're too small for Jesus to hear you when you call out to him in faith. He hears you, no matter who you are, no matter where you rank. The question for us is, do we hear people like this around us? Do we notice them? In my club that I was leading in Severna Park, Maryland, before I came back here to Franklin County, this girl on the left, Charity, came to one of our Young Life clubs. And she was invited by Hannah, the girl on the right. And Charity had a blast. I remember where I was in that basement. I remember where she sat the whole time. She loved the music. She loved to dance. She loved to laugh. She had a great time. I was so glad that she was there. Next morning, her mom calls me. That's usually not a good thing when you're with Young Life because you think, what did we do wrong? Who did we offend? Did we break something? So the mom calls and says, I just want to thank you for inviting Charity to your Young Life club last night. And I said, oh, don't thank me, thank Hannah. She's one of the campaigner girls. She invited Charity. We were glad to have her. Everyone's welcome to come to Young Life. She said, no. She said, Eric, you don't understand. She did this. She said, that's the first time in her school career that she's ever been invited to anything outside of a school event. Whole career, kindergarten through 12, she had never been invited to a birthday party, to go to the movies, or to hang out. Can you imagine that as a parent? It was as if she was invisible, as if nobody could see Charity. Because Charity had three things that kind of put her on the outside at Severna Park High School. She was a person of color, she was overweight, and she had a learning disability. Three strikes in Severna Park. No one even noticed her. Probably more people like Charity in our world than we can imagine. And I love that Jesus not only heard this man at the bottom of the social ladder, he paid attention to him and he listened to him. That's good news for all of us. Right? And there she is singing at a karaoke that we had at camp. All right. Next thing he did that I love is that he stops the crowd for him. Stops a crowd full of important people, every rung on the social ladder, for this guy, the lowest rung on the social ladder. Stopped everything for him. How do you think that made him feel? Pretty good, right? Mark's version of this story says he threw his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. I wonder if he had some words on the way to Jesus. Excuse me, those of you who rebuked me, Jesus just stopped the crowd for me. He just stopped the crowd for me. I love that. That's good news for everybody. Because what is he communicating to everybody else in that crowd? You matter to me. Because if this guy matters, you all matter. Right? Because Jesus knew something. How we treat people near the bottom is how we treat everyone. You matter to him. Don't ever think you don't matter to Jesus. You matter to him no matter where you rank, no matter who you are. That next summer, Charity went to Lake Champion, a camp with us, and which is where we're headed this summer, with Greencastle and Chambersburg anyway. And she had a time of her life. She had a great week, but she was afraid to do one thing. She was afraid to do tubing behind a boat. All right, Steve Herman used to drive those boats, and he's the reason why kids were afraid to ride on those tubes. But finally, on the last day, she worked up the courage, and she did it with Hannah. All right? So I was in the game room at the time, and I come out, and I hear a girl screaming on the lake, and I think either someone just died or they're having the time of their life. And it was Charity having the time of her life. Just loved it. And you need to understand this, that in those days, kids would line up. It was a free time activity. They would line up and wait for like an hour for like a 5 to 7 minute ride. All right? So they're lined up. And when the staff and the campers that were in the line realized who it was, this was a regular week of Young Life Camp. This was not a Capernaum camp for kids with disabilities. And when they realized that, they realized we're just going to let Charity go. And I think she went for like 35, 40 minutes. She was exhausted, so tired, she slept through dinner. Just slept right through dinner. We woke her up at like 8 o'clock that night. And I love that the camp that day stopped the crowd for Charity. And everybody that was there knew it was the right thing to do. So I love that Jesus stopped the crowd for this blind beggar. All right, I get this to go. Did I accidentally turn it off? Oh, we'll get it back in a second. Third thing that I love that he does is that he asks, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It's a great question. It's the most common question that Jesus asked. And there's three things I want to notice about it here. First thing, he serves him. What do you want me to do for you? He put himself in a place of a servant, there we go, before a blind beggar on the lowest rung. You know, I think a lot of people think that God came to force us to serve him, but here's Jesus, God with skin on, came to show us what God is like, serving the blind beggar. I love that. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And here he is, serving a blind beggar. What can I do for you? I love that. Second thing I notice about this question, he offers to do something for him. What do you want me to do for you? That's what makes the gospel good news, I believe. And that's the difference between what I would call religion and the good news of the gospel. Religion is more about what we do to earn God's favor. But the good news is about what Christ has done to earn it for us. Right? Tim Keller says this, the gospel in like 30 seconds, is Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He lived the perfect life we could never live, and he died to pay the penalty of our imperfection. See, by his life, he earned God's favor for us. By his death, he paid sin's penalty for us. And by his resurrection, he defeated the power of sin, death, hell, and Satan for us. He did all that for us. That's great news, right? And when we put our faith in Christ, he gives us eternal life as a gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is a gift. It's not a reward that we earn by being good enough, by the things that we do. It's a gift we receive by putting our faith in Christ and the things he's done for us. Amen? That's the good news. So what he did for us. On that same camp trip, there were other kids like Charity that were near the bottom of the social ladder in our area. There was Greg, who was born with his umbilical cord around his neck, and he never fully developed. There was Ryan, who barely survived an accident when he was 9 and was never the same. There was Zach and others on the autism spectrum, and Charity and others. There was also a group of girls, four freshman girls from Arundel High School, and these were the star athletes. They were star field hockey players. They were probably the prettiest girls in their class, and they were in another cabin, and this is one quote that one of them said to their leader at the end of the week, okay? One of these girls said, "When I first got to the bus, I thought the trip was full of freaks and geeks. By the end of the week, I realized we're all the same." By the end of the week, I realized we're all the same. The only thing that happened in between there, they heard the gospel. They heard the good news. Because the gospel has a way of leveling the playing field, doesn't it? Kind of as a way of taking this and just turning it on the side. Right? Someone has said the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No one has an advantage. No one has a disadvantage. We're all sinners in need of grace. And it's available to all through Christ. That is good news. Last thing I notice about the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" is that he asks him what he wants. What do you want? The crowd probably thought, "What do you mean? Isn't it obvious? He's blind. He wants to see." I mean, Jesus was God. He knew what he needed. But I love, he didn't presume to know what he wanted. He respected him enough to say, "What do you want? What do you want?" And it was then when he said, I think he would have given him whatever he wanted. If he would have said, I just want a meal, or I just want a new walking stick or a new coat, he would have given him that. But he says, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see." That's all Jesus needed to hear. He heals him. This man knew what he wanted from Jesus, and he went to him to get it. Here's the question for us. Do you know what you want from Jesus? What do you want from him? If he asked you, "What do you want me to do for you?" what would you say today? Jesus offers life, but he only gives it to those who want it. He's always a gentleman. He'll never force himself or his life on anyone. If you want the life he offers, you have to come to him to get it. Just like this in John 7, he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." John 6, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." Chances are, this wasn't the only blind beggar by the roadside this day. In fact, in other versions of the story, in other Gospels, there are several blind beggars by the road. But this is the one we hear about in this case because he is the one who wanted it more than the others, apparently. Enough to ignore the crowd, call to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Do you think he was glad he did? Absolutely. And the fourth thing I love that Jesus does is that he has the power to heal him. He has the power to heal him. He doesn't just feel sorry for him or pity him or just give him advice. He has the power to heal him, to change his life. See, when we're desperate, we don't need pity. We don't need people to feel sorry for us, right? We need people who are able and willing to help us. People who are willing to stop what they're doing, headed to Jerusalem to die on a cross, to help us. And that's what Jesus does. He says, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight. I have terrible eyes. You can tell I needed glasses at first grade. They're like 8.5 or 9, if anybody knows what that number means, which I do not. But I know my eyes are bad. So bad that I've had partially detached retinas in both eyes. I didn't get hit either time, just my eye is just oblong-shaped, and retina just said, "I'm done, you're on your own," right? My son, I pass it on to my son. He came home one day after school, after the eye test. He goes, "Daddy, I failed the eye test at school today. I hope I don't fail it next time." I sat him down, I said, "Logan, let me tell you something. You're going to fail the eye test every time you take it. That's what we do, okay? It's not your fault." And he was like, "Oh, okay, that's good. I thought I was doing something wrong." I said, "No, Logan, I don't care. I don't care if you just got glasses the day before. The next day, you're going to fail it. That's what we birds do." He goes, "All right, good talk, Dad. Thanks." So I could pay a lot of money and have surgery to go from seeing really bad to seeing just okay. I don't even know if they could completely fix it. Jesus took a man who was blind, and he gave him sight. No money, no surgery, just words. The unbelievable power of Jesus, right? Healed every blind person he ever saw, every sickness, rose 3 people from the grave. And if you're here as a skeptic, you have to wonder at some point, if Jesus is not the Son of God, then how was he able to do things that no one's been able to do before or since, right? After I shared this message, one time my friend Don Baker, who the Hermans know very well, came up to me and said, he said, I just read an article about many people that are cured of blindness often commit suicide because they're not ready to see. It's either too overwhelming or perhaps they're just disappointed with what they had in their minds. So they often just sit in a dark room because it's what they're used to doing. The point is this, when Jesus healed this man, he healed him fully. He didn't just heal he healed him from the inside out, not just his sight, but his mind, how he perceived the world. He healed everything. In short, he made him whole again. Isn't that just like Jesus? He made him whole. Shalom. I love that. It says he followed Jesus, this man did after that. Followed Jesus, praising God. Of course he did. Where else are you going to go? When Jesus changes your life, when he makes you whole, where else are you going to go? You're going to follow the one that just did that. And that's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for followers. He's not looking for converts. He's not looking for decisions. He's looking for people who get on the road and follow him with their lives. And that's what he does. It says, when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Of course they did, right? Because they knew from just this one miracle, this one story, that Jesus was no mere man. He was God in the flesh. God has come to help his people. And that's good news for all of us. So would you agree with me that Jesus treated this man well? Yeah. Do you know anybody who wouldn't want to be treated the way Jesus treated this blind beggar? I don't know of anybody. I don't know of anybody. Not a person alive, no matter where they rank, that wouldn't want to be treated this way. Here's the good news. If Jesus came to show us what God is like, as I believe he did, the incarnate God, then this is how God views each and every one of us, all of us. He hears us when we call out to him in faith, no matter how small we think we are or insignificant. He'd stop the crowd for us because we matter to him, no matter where we rank, no matter what we've done. He asked, what do you want me to do for you? He came to serve us, not to force us to serve him. And he came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Praise God. And he doesn't feel sorry for us. He doesn't pity us. And he doesn't just bring us good advice. He brings us good news. And he has the power to actually change our lives and make us whole. Because it's his message that makes us whole. And I'll end with this. If Jesus were here, and he asked the question in front of you, and he asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? It's just you and him. What do you want me to do for you? What would you say? Ephesians 3 says he's able to do more than all we ask or even imagine. You ever think about that phrase? You can't even think of things that he can't do. More than we can even imagine, even dream up. Do you know what you want from Jesus? You ask not, you have not because you ask not, Jesus said. Do you know what you want from him? Are you willing to go to him to get it? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And for offering eternal life as a gift, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf, his perfect life, his death on a cross, his resurrection. Lord, help us to repent and believe ourselves, to believe the good news. But also pray that we would boldly proclaim the good news to a world that so desperately needs to hear it, especially those who feel like they live near the bottom of the social ladder of our day. Lord, help us to treat people the way your Son treated this blind beggar. In your name, amen.